Now let's head down to one of Chester's crown jewels, flowing right through the core of our city. Pupils from King's School will check in with some locals about it.
The River Dee was the traditional boundary of the Kingdom of Gwynedd in Wales for centuries. Now it runs through both Wales and England, stretching around 700 square miles from its source on the slopes of the Mountain of Duwalt. The River Dee is a designated area of special conservation, and it is said to be the ancient personification of the war goddess Earthen, whose birds are said to be flying around.
Since the 18th century, the River Dee has been modernised in many ways, such as the Queen's Park Suspension Bridge. The bridge is one of only two footbridges across the river. It was originally built in 1852 at the instigation of Enoch Gerard. When Chester Corporation accepted the responsibility for this bridge in the early 1920s, they decided to demolish it. This took place in August 1922, and a new bridge was built. The designs of Mr. Charles Greenwood, city engineer and surveyor, took its place and remains with us today. Additionally, the river is home to four rowing clubs and sailing clubs, and several family boating companies which sport three large pleasure boats. Chester has always been a whitewater rafting zone.
What are some of the attractions that people like to do along the river?
Well, there are many and various. One is take a boat trip with ourselves here at Chester Boat. During the summer months, one can take out a pedalo, one can also take out a motorboat. Depends on how adventurous you are. Some people even go wild swimming. And obviously there are various rowing clubs that are in operation up and down the River Dee, and they have regular meets, etc. Other than that, standing, staring, relaxing, taking in the scenery, taking in the wildlife, and on a good day, the weather as well.
What are some of the unique features or aspects of the river that make it special to you?
It's beauty. It can be beguiling because, of course, obviously the river can be very, very dangerous, and one needs to be aware of what's called tidal flow and tide, because the tide can obviously rise and it can be a dangerous river as well, particularly if one doesn't have one's wits about one. Most people are very sensible. Some people are not. There have been certain deaths on this river, even as recent as late on last year, for example. But that carries with it a measure of personal responsibility. Other than that, the beauty of the river is absolutely charming. It is restful. I always tend to recommend to people that even if they live in a city or if they're visiting a city, have a look at its rivers and canals, because you'll see an entirely different side of it. Not necessarily a land that time forgot, just a better side.
Are there any hidden gems along the River Dee that you think that people should know about?
I think I've about covered it really with regard to the relaxation and the beauty that one can get. Further up the river, there is a deer park. Once one goes into the Earl's estate, that's pretty spectacular to see them. And the beauty of the countryside as you go further up into the Earl's estate. It's absolutely beguiling, it's beautiful, and it's very restful. And as Thomas Hardy once best put it, the novelist, it is literally like being far from the madding crowd. That is a gem in itself.
And now we move to the Bandstand, a bustling musical attraction nestled in the groves. The first recorded performance in the Bandstand was by the Mounted Band of the Royal Artillery and took place on May the 17th, 1913. The tradition of live music on the groves continues to this day, and a concert can be enjoyed here every Saturday and Sunday from early May to September. Built out of yellow sandstone with cast iron columns and a slate roof, the Chester Bandstand was erected in 1913, the year before the outbreak of the First World War. It cost only £350 to build. It is situated on the groves in a beautiful setting overlooking the River Dee. The cost of the bandstand was provided by Charles Brown.
What are your experiences like living near the river? Does it differ to live in, say, more into Chester?
I'd say yes, it does differ. We've lived here 9 or 10 years. I think the beauty of living by the river is really that you see the change in seasons. You feel more in touch with the weather and the climate and what's happening. And also there's quite a lot of footfall along here, so feel like you're quite involved with what's going on in Chester.
Do you have like a personal connection with the river?
We ended up living here because we love the water. We like the whole vibe, whether it was here or by the sea. We have a boat here, so that helps us as being part of the river. I used to row in the Middle Ages, so obviously that's a big connection with the river. And I love seeing the activity on the river as well. Now, I was primarily Bounside, but I think I was a better sculler than sweep, to be honest. But I didn't start rowing until I was a lot older. Like when my son stopped rowing, he gave me permission to start. That's basically what happened.
What is your favourite part about the river or the things around it? the weir.
Could anything be done to make your experience visiting the river be improved?
They've got enough handrails. The steps going down from Queen's Park, we need handrails. Yes, definitely. More bins do we need, yes.
How often do you visit the river and do you find all of the things around
about
it enjoyable?
About 4 times a week.
Do you find all the activities around it enjoyable, or are there any that...
Well, there's no activities. They don't use the bandstand anymore. Occasionally, they do the river race. Well, you go to the King's School, do you, so you know what's...
What would your message be to any people if they were thinking of visiting the River Dee on a day out?
There's plenty of cafes. Yes, the cafe.
An Americano.
Yeah. Or fetch your sandwiches. Yeah. And, you know, just enjoy it. There's the Rue Dee. They can walk for miles if they want to. Right up to Sealand, is it?
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Oh, not really, love, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm past caring now.
Okay. That's fine.
Nestled in the heart of Chester is the racecourse, dating back to the 16th century. Students from Upton High School divulge some of its rich history.
Chester Racecourse is famous for its tight turn and unique setting. However, this is not how it always was. Before, it was a racecourse. Historically, the site was used for a variety of things. Heads were kicked, humans were decapitated, and Americans tried to share their talent. The council were not keen on these gory games, so to conceal their barbaric activities, horses were put as a distraction and a form of thrilling entertainment.
The racecourse was founded in 1539. Because of reasons such as people were desperate to avoid massacre and beating each other up in the annual football game, which had been going for over 500 years. This annual event was a mob football game to commemorate the Viking attack, which failed in the early 900s in Chester. Games kicked off by using the Viking head, which served as a football and as a medallion towards their victory. Later, a classic football was used.
Now onto an interview with our school history teacher.
Have there been any important visitors to the racecourse?
Yes, there sure have. In the early 20th century, Buffalo Bill brought his Wild West circus to the racecourse. So we had plains natives, indigenous people, folk who'd be described as North American Indians, I suppose, people like the Sioux and the Cheyenne, pitched teepees and then put on a performance there. So these people had come from the Black Hills of Dakota or come from the plains of North America. They'd been brutalized by the American army and no longer could carry on their traditional lifestyle. And then Buffalo Bill recruits them. So we have these people who'd been brought up just in the wilds of the American plains, now sat on the Rue Dee for a couple of nights as they're putting on their display, which I think is phenomenal. Some of those people like experienced the Battle of the Bighorn. Some of them would have fought against the American army, and now they're in Britain, still with their religious views, still believing they can get in contact with Wakantanka, the Great Spirit. I think it's phenomenal. The other one that I really like is that in 1914, when World War I started, there were too many people who joined up, and they needed somewhere to put them. So when they'd filled up all the pubs, when they got like 70 people in the Baron Billet, they just put tents up across the Rue Dee. And then the other thing that's, it's not so much important visitors, but Cheshire Regiment, it's now the Mercian Regiment, has got like links to our school. It was founded in the 1660s by a meeting of soldiers on the Rue Dee. That's where they first kind of got a force together that became the Cheshire Regiment. And then now is the Mercian Regiment. So there's these kind of iconic moments in Chester's history and some interesting folk who've been to the location.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Rue Dee comes from two old Anglo-Saxon words, rude, which means cross, e, double e, which means island. So that used to be in the Roman port. Roman ships would be on that, because we can see that there's the edge of the Roman harbour at the edge of the racecourse. And it gets Rue Dee because there was a flood and a cross was carried down the River Dee and it ended up on this island in the middle of where the Rue Dee is now. So these deeply spiritual religious people thought that this is a message from God that has some kind of holiness. And yet I don't know what the shape the cross was in. I don't know whether it was the flood left it like propped up or anything so it looked genuine like a cross, or whether it was just any cross just lying there, they'd go, wow, this is incredible, God is speaking to us. But for people in medieval Chester, it would be a place where they believe a miracle has taken place. They believe God's constantly in their lives and be evidence of God all the time. And this is one of the locations they see God playing a role. It'd be interesting to know what people in the Middle Ages really thought of the place. It's clear, you know, they got that religious connotation. And so I suppose when he was first having the football games on it, it must have been something of a sandbank at that point. It must have been a little bit marshy sand just on the edge of the river. And so they tried banning the inflatable football, and then folk came back with a wooden football, which didn't solve the problem. So then the council decided, if we have another form of entertainment, but one where you can't play football, that is going to make sure people aren't killing each other. In some cases, literally. So 1539, they come up with this conclusion, they're going to have a race, and the first race is in 1540. At some point in the early February, we've just had the anniversary.
Nowadays, Chester Racecourse is known for being the oldest racecourse still in use in England. The historic site offers a unique and exciting experience for both jockeys and spectators. The racecourse hosts a variety of events throughout the year, including the Chester May Festival and the Foamtastic Colour Blast. This is where you can be covered in powder and foamy bubbles. If you can remember one thing from today's podcast, remember that these two historic sites are very important to Chester, and how they boost our economy and tourism is very important too. Thank you for listening all.
This podcast project was brought to you by Chester Schools Together in collaboration with Storyhouse. We'd just like to take this opportunity to thank all of the young people and staff at the schools, as well as Chester Schools Together staff, for helping us bring this together. We really hope you enjoyed the story, and we're looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you and goodbye.